Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It said the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. In verse 4, he said that God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. If you read again in verse 9, for example, he said, then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. In verse 10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of these waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. The next scripture I want us to quickly read in, as a commencement for today's teaching, is from Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now, what I want to begin to speak about today is how to bring to birth the vision of God in your life. That is, how to bring things upon this earth to actualize things that are first inside your heart. Now, I read from Genesis chapter 1 to help us understand something. That there is a spiritual order by which things occur in life. Don't forget, life is operated by spiritual principles. What we call moral laws, what we call laws in the society, they're actually founded upon spiritual principles. Are you getting my point? Now, so, there's an important spiritual principle here. You will see in Genesis chapter 1 that God looked at the situation. The Bible says that the earth was formless and void. Now, in response to that, God spoke a word. He said, let there be light. And then that light occurred. At another time, in verse 9 and in verse 10 of Genesis chapter 1, he said, let dry land appear. Let this happen. Let the waters gather to one side. The Bible said that the things occurred, and God looked at it and said, it is good. Is that what it is good I want to highlight before I go on further? What does it mean when it says it is good? I'll suggest an opinion to you, which I believe is very strongly founded upon scriptural principles. Now, this is what it means when it said it is good. What happened is that when God looked at a bad situation, he had ideas in his mind. That is, what was going to happen upon the earth was first in the mind of God. And then the next thing that God did was to speak forth the thing that was inside his mind. Now, please, Jesus said something to us in John chapter 6. He said, the letters profit nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Or, the words that I speak, they carry a spiritual force that imparts life wherever they land. What am I trying to say here? When God said, let there be light, what he issued forth was an expression of what the Bible calls the logos of God. That is, there were thoughts in God's mind. There were things in the heart of God. There were pictures, imaginations, ideas in his mind. Then those things crystallized into words. He released them from his mouth. They landed on the earth, and the earth responded according to the patterns that were inside the heart of God. Now, when those things were produced on the earth, God looked at it, compared it with what he had in his mind, and he said, this is good. Now, let me explain that further. Since you were young, you had desired a kind of building. You had desired a kind of house to call your own. Then over the years, God began to prosper you and he gave you a lot of money. One day you decided that you wanted to build a house. And because you had so much money, you called a very good architect to design the house. And then he asked, are there anything specific that you would like? And you tell him, I would like my bedroom like this. I want two sitting rooms. I want one here, one here. This is how I want the garage to be. I would like the compound to be landscaped like this. And you describe everything. And then he gives you a model. Now, when you say this is good, what you are saying is that this will satisfy the thoughts of my heart. This will satisfy the desires of my soul. That is, a man has been able to put into physical reality that which you always had in your heart. Are you getting my point? That is the meaning of the word, it is good. What am I trying to say here? My emphasis, actually, the point I want to bring out is that before God formed something on the earth, the thing first existed in the mind of God. Anything that exists in the realm of the physical always exists first in the realm of the spirit. That is, before light was on the earth, there was first light in the mind of God. Before there was land on the earth, there was first land in the mind of God. Before there were plants on the earth, the plants first existed in the heart of God. And when God spoke, actually what he did was to release the spiritual force containing the blueprint for the things he wanted on the earth into the atmosphere. And then the earth had no choice but to respond to the force that was contained inside the heart of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now, this is what I want you to understand. That's exactly how God made human beings. Before anything exists on the earth, because after God created everything, he planted the man in the garden, and he told him to fill the earth and to subdue it. He told him to cultivate the garden and to keep it. What God did was to put every raw material necessary into the earth. He never made any new element. He never made any new physical thing. What he just did was to put the potentials into the earth, and he put the man there and gave him the same ideas. He gave him the same operating mechanism and said, go into the earth and create. Adam was not supposed to subdue and fill the earth only with human beings. Some of us think that were it not for the fall, human beings would not have had to walk the way they are walking now, but it's not true. Adam was not supposed to just be having children. Then one day God will look down from the heavens and see the whole earth, and it's been filled with 6 billion naked people. Why? Because they never sinned. You getting my point? Because they never sinned. So you find 6 billion naked people who are eating from trees and fishing, and that's all they are doing. They are eating only things that existed naturally. Listen to me, sin or no sin, that's not the point. The point is that when God created Adam, he knew that one day Adam would make the GSM phone. When God created Adam, he knew one day Adam would design a plane. He knew that Adam won't have to move from one end of the earth to another one. He would have to design ships. These things came to be not because men became too wise, but because they were the plans of God for the earth. Now, when God was going to create all the things that you see now, listen. What he did was to illuminate the hearts of men. Are you getting my point? At the beginning, he had created all the raw materials possible. The man who invented the laser beam, now if you know much about science, you will know about the laser beam. In fact, just for those who don't know, laser beam is how your DVD player reads your DVD. That's how your CD player reads your CD. That's how your computer burns CDs for you. Those things are lasers. Doctors use lasers for surgery. Engineers use lasers for different kinds of things. Now, somebody designed that thing. Somebody invented it. Now, the name of the man who did most of the work, his name is Charles Townes. Now, Charles Townes, once I read something that he said, because the idea came to him one day when he was sitting in a park. Thoughts just came to his mind. And because before Charles Townes, laser did not exist. It didn't exist. It was something that he dreamt about, ideas that came to his mind, and then he walked into his laboratory and began to work. And over the next few years, he and his colleagues worked, and they produced the laser beam that we know today. They produced the laser equipment. Now, he was given an award once, and the reason was because of an article he wrote. Now, he said that the spiritual realm must be very real. And to him, that the thoughts that came to his mind that made him produce a laser is the same kind of thoughts that comes to the minds of the prophet and makes him prophesy. Now, are you getting my point? To him, that human beings, you understand that the spiritual realm really exists, and that what came to him was like an inspiration from God, and it was based upon that inspiration that he designed the laser beam. And this is the interesting part. A lot of people make these scientists, great scientists, appear as if they did not believe in God. It is not true. Let me give you an example. Those of you who have studied chemistry up to secondary school level, you've heard of Kekulé. All right, Kekulé was a French chemist who tried to write people had been struggling for years on the structure of benzene. For those of you who don't understand science, please just permit us for a second, all right, on the structure of benzene. Now, for many years, they did not know about cyclical hydrocarbons. They only knew about straight chain ones. And Kekulé sat down in front of his fireplace one day, and he fell asleep. And inside his dream, all right, he dreamt of a snake that was going around in circles, its tail in its mouth. And as soon as he woke up, he knew that was the structure of benzene. And he went into his lab and began to work. And finally, he presented a structure for benzene, which was the first time men knew about cyclical hydrocarbons. What am I trying to say? The spiritual realm is real. Kekulé received that thing purely by inspiration. Are you getting my point? You know, Albert Einstein, I was discussing with a colleague some time ago. He has read a lot into physics and he has studied extensively. And he says that people have misrepresented Einstein. That Albert Einstein never said there is no God. In fact, that all his research, he was trying to understand the principles of God in the realms of physics. Now, some of you listen to Pastor Banky, that is me, and then I teach you the principles of God, all right? In the realm of the spirit. I teach you the principles of God in the realm of morals. For example, when I'm talking about sin, it's as if I'm talking on moral matters. But actually, what I am doing is expressing the principles of God as it involves relationship with amongst human beings. Are you getting my point? Then I teach you the principles of God. It will appear philosophical. But I'm talking about the principles of God as it relates with life. How you are supposed to tackle your existence on earth. Now, these are principles of God that will appear as if I'm speaking philosophy. Now, in the same manner, Albert Einstein was trying to understand the principles of God as it related to the physical realm, as it related to physics. For example, the man will write a theory and he'll say, I don't want to be right. I just want to know whether I am right. Because he understood that the laws were there before he began to write them. That what he's trying to do is to discover that which already exists. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, why did I go into all of this? I'm trying to explain something here, that the spiritual realm actually exists. And what God actually does is to give small doses of those things into the hearts of people. And then they come out in the physical realm and create that which existed in the realm of the spirit. There's a scripture that I think we should read. It will just bring this thing to light for us very well. Now, you see, at the time, Moses went up into the mountain to meet with God in the book of Exodus. And God showed him the pattern for the tabernacle that he was going to build on the earth. Now you notice, if you read from Exodus chapter 25, especially verse 40, God spoke to Moses, says, see that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain. Then he had just described for him what the tabernacle, the golden lampstand, all those things are going to be. He now said to him in verse 40 of Exodus chapter 25, he said, make sure that you do it according to the pattern which I showed you on the mountain. Now what I want to bring out here is this. Before Moses built that tabernacle on the earth, it first existed in the mind of God. There's actually a tabernacle in heaven that God had built before Moses came. That is, that tabernacle in heaven, God brought it down into an earthly form, showed that pattern to Moses on the mountain and said, go down and build it exactly as it exists on the mountain. Now, if you go and read in the book of Hebrews, you will see that the Bible says that Jesus took his blood and entered the real tabernacle that existed in the heavens. Now, I'm bringing out something here. It is that tabernacle that Moses built a pattern after, are you getting what I'm saying, on the earth. Now, why am I saying all these things? I want to explain something to you here, that the plans of God, the plan that God has for mankind actually exists in the heavens. That's why Jesus taught us to pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written or recorded in heaven. That's what he was saying. And so, what we are trying to do on earth is actually to bring to the earth the perfect plan of God. I was teaching the other day to some people during my school of Bible exegesis, and I explained the reason why people move from one place and they don't move to another place. That is, you see that, for example, in Nigeria of today, one of the greatest breakthroughs you can give a young man is to give him an immigrant visa to America, what you call an American green card. He wins American visa lottery. But I said that I have never desired to emigrate to America. And so I was explaining to people that I am not saying it is not a good country, not at all. No, God forbid. I am not saying that. In fact, I believe that it is a good country. And most of the books that we read, most of the things that I refer to are from that country, because people have gone ahead in those places and have experienced certain things in God, and they have been teaching us how to walk in the presence of God. But I said that this is my own reason. I believe that good places, listen, God never designed that America will be the only good place. God never designed that good places will only exist in what you and I call now the civilized countries or the first world. No, the design of God is that there are many parts of the earth. In fact, the whole earth is supposed to become a good place. In the days of the manifestation of the kingdom of God, the Bible said that they will not hurt in my holy mountain, none shall hurt, because the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. Now, because I believe that, I understand that Nigeria also is to be a beloved country. Are you getting my point? And listen, the things that happen right now can never persuade me that it's not supposed to be. Because when God started on this earth, the Bible tells us clearly that the earth was without form and it was void. That is, there were problems everywhere. Elections were being rigged anyhow. There were riots everywhere. Are you getting what I'm saying? There was oppression. All kinds of things were happening. But God did not abandon the earth because of that. Rather, he said, there is a picture in my heart and I want it created here. So he began to speak those things. Just as the scripture I referred to just a while ago, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9, it said, they will not halt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, this is the point. That tells us simply that when you want to create a beautiful environment, all right, you fill the place first with the knowledge of God. And that's the assignment that I was born with, and that is the assignment that I'm carrying. I'm explaining that, you see, I am not saying the other countries are not good, but that we can create a good country where we are right now. And my assignment is to fill this land with the knowledge of God. And when it has been filled with the knowledge of God, as the waters cover the sea, then a good place will be created. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm going to emphasize that good things are first planted in the hearts of people. Good things first exist in the hearts of people. Now, as you remember what I said, I am beginning to talk from today about what to do to birth the vision of God in your life. That is, when God wants to bring a tabernacle to the earth, he gives the pattern to Moses. When God wants to bring a hurtless society, a problemless society onto the earth, he gives the word of the knowledge of God to his prophets, and then they go out and begin to prophesy. And when the place has been filled with the knowledge of God, then you will experience blessing in that place. That is, the ideal pattern of God first exists in the heavens. God puts them in the hearts of people that are on earth, and then they begin to produce it. Let me say this again. There is no good thing that occurs on this earth by chance. There is no good thing that occurs on this earth by itself. That is why I think believing in evolution shows that you are mentally not capable. Because you will see, if you look around, you will know for sure that nothing good ever came out by itself. There was never a time somebody saw a beautiful building and said, oh, this building is so fine. It has air conditioners. Listen, all the rooms are in suit. And you say, look at the compound around it. It has cobblestones everywhere. You say, oh, God, how did it come to be? They say, we don't know. We just woke up one morning and we saw this house here. He said, in fact, the night I went to sleep, I remember I still poured my refuse into this place. Then I woke up in the morning, then a breeze just blew at night, and a volcano erupted somewhere far away. And there was so much disorder, and by chance, amongst the rubbles, there's this particular area that a good building appeared in. It doesn't happen. That is how sensible evolution is. Are you getting my point? That, listen, nothing good creates itself. People always create something good. Sometimes people speak with me. They say, your country or this country is so bad. There are so many bad things happening. I said, that is to show us the necessity for creating good. Are you getting my point? We don't just comment and look and say, this thing is bad, this thing is bad, this thing is bad, and then we'll all go away. Then who will make it good? I remember once I was talking to a friend. We were supposed to gather for a particular meeting, a body of friends, you know, members of a particular association. I said, why are you not coming for the meeting? He said, I'm not coming because that association has not become what it is supposed to be. I just turned to him. I said, you have as much right as I have in there. You have as much standing in that place as anybody else. Now, if you pull out because it is not what it's supposed to be, then tell me who will make it what it is supposed to be. Let me speak. Allow me to sound like a prophet, but let me tell you what will happen in this nation, Nigeria. Listen, every place where there has been disorder, order will come into it. Why? Because we are filling the earth with the knowledge of God, and one day the earth will be full with that knowledge as the waters cover the seas. Now, notice something. I am not saying that everybody will agree with me. I have never said that. I am just saying that the thing will come to a level that those who do not agree will be covered. That is, those who have caused problems, then suddenly they will lose their positions. I don't want you as a person to ever lose heart because of some things that are happening around that don't reflect to you good that is coming. Listen, they always say like this, I'm sure you have heard it before, that the darkest hours are just before dawn. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The fact that right now everything is so dark does not mean that the sun will not rise in the next 1 hour. You are getting what I'm saying? That's the way it is. The Bible says that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it appeared to us like a dream. That is, the events of yesterday did not let us know the great things that were going to happen today. I'm emphasizing the fact that first, there is a good thing in the heavens. a plan of God. Then God takes that picture, that plan, that vision, he plants it in the heart of somebody, and it becomes a dream in that person's heart. The person begins to imagine it, and he starts saying that, oh, it would be good if the earth is no longer formless and void. How nice it would be if there was light. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God says that, yes, that is exactly what I want. But there are procedures that you need to follow to bring that light to be on the earth. With God, it was just one word. Are you getting my point? He said, let there be. But let me tell you also, you'll be amazed at how closely a man can operate like God. We will begin to say, let there be, and then the events of life will begin to cooperate with the spirits behind those words. Remember I said earlier, words are not just words. It's what they carry. Jesus said in John chapter 6, that's what matters. And the spirit is actually the dream, the vision that was in the heart. Let me give you an example. You know, today as I was driving out, near my area, I saw a building being constructed, you know, for the judiciary. And immediately I began to have dreams and visions. I said, no, a time is coming very shortly that in Nigeria we'll have quick access to justice. That if a policeman detains you unjustly, you are not worried. You know that very soon he is going to be punished, and you can even sue him and the police force for the unjust detention. Not that somebody will keep you in prison and say, go and bring money. Say, I have done nothing wrong. You say, yes, I know. But if you don't bring money, I won't let you go. Listen to me. Those days are about to pass. Get my point? These thoughts were coming to my mind as I was just passing a building being built for the judiciary. Now, that's how God does things. But you see what Satan does to people? Once you utter those words amongst your friends, you say, oh, forget, in this country, no, that one can never happen. No. Ah, forget, you see, listen. That is what is called unbelief. Are you getting my point? These are the people of faith. They understand that we cannot judge what tomorrow will be by what is happening right now. What we judge tomorrow by are the visions in our hearts right now and what we are doing to bring them to pass. Are you getting my point? Listen, the problems on the earth now cannot decide for me what tomorrow will be. What decides for me what tomorrow will be are the visions in my heart, the visions in the heart of people like me, men of like passion, men of like faith. There are young people I like to discuss with because there are problems in the society and they already have dreams in their heart on how to solve them. I've talked to architects, builders, businessmen who every day they are dreaming of how to have a complete house completed with less than 2 million naira, and a man and his family can move in there and say, this house belongs to us, and they don't have to pay at a go. They pay gradually from their salaries over a few years. Now, you talk to these people. Now, they're able to say that if you go to America, you can easily buy a house. These people are not saying that. They are saying that we can do it in Nigeria also. We can do it in our own nation also. We can bring these things to pass. Now, what God has done in the lives of such people is to bring a piece of his vision. He said, be sure, be careful to build this thing according to the pattern that I'm showing you. So in their minds, visions exist. Are you getting my point? I was talking to a young man the other day. He said, oh, computers are so expensive in Nigeria. I can sell good laptops at less than 100,000 naira for one. And people don't even have to pay suddenly. Are you getting my point? They're already having dreams. People are already having visions of what to do to make the nation good. I see people who are walking, and the dreams in their heart is how it will be that every Nigerian walking on the road will not be denied its fundamental human right. And they are working towards it. Every time they are talking about those visions. I've seen people who all they are thinking about is that, look, all these drugs we import from India, we import from here, we can do them here, and eventually they will be much cheaper for us and safer for us than the ones that we import. And they are working towards it. But you know what others do? They get up and start complaining. And this country is so bad. I don't believe anything can work here. Listen to me. Great things don't come spontaneously. There is a vision that God plants in the heart of somebody. And if there is a place you have not seen great things happen, it is because the person in whose heart that vision is has not yet manifested. And that's one of my assignments in life. When I see people who talk like I've said, I begin to pray for them. Are you getting my point? That this person says, oh, this is the idea I have concerning this particular industry. I know that if those ideas come out on the earth as they have proposed, this country also will be a very good country. So like I said, it is not as if I'm saying that some other countries are not good. I am just saying that we have a responsibility to make good the bad countries good. We have a responsibility to convert formless and void into it is good, like God did in Genesis. And that's the template with which I am working. I believe my own assignment, because I'm preaching, is to fill the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. And if you are listening to me and your heart is being filled with the word of God, listen, the vision inside your heart will come out and fill the earth, and we look and say, it is good. Listen, anytime you hear words like this, don't let your heart be filled with negative thoughts. Like it can never happen. I said, how do you know it can never happen? I spoke with a man once. He said, no factory can exist in Nigeria and make products and it will be profitable. I said, how do you know? He said, because there is a power is not constant. I said, is that so? I looked at the man and I smiled. I was not in the mood for arguing with him. But let's even start from there. The constancy of power is currently in the hearts of certain people. Are you getting my point? Yes, we need it to have our industries work well. But I'm saying that there is somebody listening to me tonight that God wants to use to make power constant. Nobody's going to drop down from heaven to do it. Nobody. I said earlier that God put all the resources necessary on this earth. Listen, a good nation is inside our hearts. But some of us take it and go to a place that's already manifestedly good. And when we get there, they do not have need for our ideas. Are you getting my point? Maybe, for example, God has put inside you, like I said, some of the young men I've been talking about, they have dreams of how to make housing available for everybody. All right? Now, such a young man goes to a country where they have already made their housing availability for everybody easy. What does he do? He wants to start to merge into what already exists. So he's no longer outstanding. You see, listen, light shines brightest in darkness. You see, the headlamps of some cars, when they are driving at night, it's as if they want to blind everybody. You think they can light up a whole town. Once it is done, the sun is not even fully shining. It's just the reflection from the particles in the sky that's already showing on the earth. Let the same person put on those lights. You don't notice the light is on, because light shines brightest in the dark. Are you getting me? So if you have a little light and you are living in a place where there's plenty of darkness, you should be happy. Because, you see, what makes you an important person in life is not the size of a car you drive or the magnitude of the house you live in, but the amount of lives you are able to impact, the amount of people you are able to bless. So when you're in the midst of darkness, are you getting my point? Then you are able to shine forth with the little light that you have. All of us hear of Mother Teresa, Mother Teresa. There would have been no Mother Teresa if there was no poverty in India. Do you get my point? She shone forth because she was in the midst of poverty. And you know what? There are many mothers, Teresas everywhere that nobody is hearing about. They have sought after their own lust alone. Paul said, Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. You are getting the point I'm making. My emphasis for today is that there is a dream in your heart. It is not yours, it's the dream of God. It's what God has placed in your heart to use to bless the rest of the generations of the earth. It is therefore ungodly for you, all right, to hide it, thinking that because the situation around is not conducive, let me go and look for where things are good, that I might enjoy life also. Are you getting my point? I think we have made that point. But like I said, what I'm beginning to speak about is what to do to bring that vision. Because if it's inside your heart, it's not going to help anybody. And Jesus said it like this. This is how things are inside your heart are. When he said, you are the light of the world. He said, no one lights a light, puts it under a bushel. He said, but you put it in the high place, on the lampstand, so it can shine forth light to the rest of the room. That is, the light that is inside the bushel is useless to anybody. The vision, no matter how good your dreams and ideas are, once they are not realized, then it is useless to anybody. That is why we are discussing what to do to bring forth those great ideas that are inside your heart onto the earth. Are you getting my point? Because there are procedures. Because if you read in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, it said, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. What is that trying to say? That we may have something in our heart, we may even talk about it a bit, but that it does not help anybody, does not profit anybody, until we do what is necessary, put forth the necessary labor to bring the vision that was inside the heart, to bring it out onto the earth. Are you getting my point? That is, after Moses saw the form of the tabernacle on the mountain, it would have been useless to the whole of Israel, and for the covenant of God, for him to have sat down and be telling people and say, oh, if you get down to heaven, how beautiful the tabernacles are there. No. Moses began to build. He began to call men like Bezalel, make this, make that. Men began to build. They worked until one day The tabernacle was on the earth. And Moses looked at it again in his own heart and said, this is good. That is, it is exactly according to the pattern that was shown me on the mount. I hope you get that point. But you see, without knowing that that vision in your heart is an assignment, without knowing that it is a commission that God gave you from heaven, you will not do anything about it. You will leave it fallow. And let me, you know, I've said this before about judgment. You see, in the day of judgment, God checks what you have done. Not as well you have sinned or you have not sinned, but whether you have done what he asked you to do. What am I saying? That some of us are at risk, okay? We stand a great risk of being judged harshly by God because he has placed something inside our hearts. We don't realize that we are supposed to bring labor into it. We are supposed to work hard and do certain things to make those. It's a responsibility we owe to God to manifest on this earth. It's not just for glory. If you don't understand it like that, you may not work towards it. That's why I've introduced it today for you to understand that God's patterns in the heavens have been drawn into the hearts of men, and it's the responsibility of each one of us to manifest on this earth that we may create another good place in our own environment. Well, I trust that you were blessed by today's message.